I missed you guys last week, but I am back this week, and I hope everyone had a wonderful spring break. And so, hey, okay, so let's see, let's get right to it. I also have a guest here. He's not really a guest, he's just hanging out. It's DJ Avery, you know, so he's making me nervous. So if I get tongue-tied, you know, it's his fault. We're just going to blame him. So let's get right to it. We have in gossip news for the week, Hugh Hefner's son, Marston, has been sentenced to jail for pleading domestic violence in an incident in 2011 with a playmate. Yes, he wasn't playing nice with Hugh's toys, it seems. It seems that Claire Sinclair, oh, that's a name, suffered minor injuries consistent with an assault from Hugh's son. She sought a temporary restraining order against a 21-year-old. She said he hit her and damaged her laptop. Hefner faced one count of battery on a spouse or cohabitant and one count of vandalizing the laptop. Now, considering that all these bunnies live at the Playboy Mansion, I think Hugh could have bought her a new one, and all of this could have been kind of swept under the rug. But if he hit her, and that's not right, just because she's one of your father's playmates, you have to play nice. So he needs to play restitution, and he is now under a court order to stay away from her, and that means that he can't visit Dad at the Playboy Mansion anymore. Also, Richard Branson's Virgin, Avery's making me nervous. Richard Branson of Virgin Galactic has booked his 500th flight. A ticket price is going for $200,000, and the person who brought this 500th flight is going to be Ashton Kutcher. Yes, Branson announced a momentous event, and soon people will be going up in the air on Virgin Galactic. Sounds very space age, futuristic, you know. But Ashton Kutcher can afford $200,000. So if you have it, Branson will take it. Also, Gene Simmons has decided to give Rihanna a tongue lashing. At a press conference on Tuesday, in Hollywood, hyping their highly anticipated concert tour. Yes, another reunion tour. This is like their fifth one in the last 10 years. But now they're going out on the road with Motley Crue. The Kiss showman touted the rock and roll shows his band's known for its comparison for what he called fake productions of some of today's biggest pop stars, including Britney Spears, Katy Perry, Rihanna. He considers them karaoke singers. So Simmons said, no fake bull deek for him. He says, leave that Rihanna and anyone who ends their name with an A. whether this was a ploy for a publicity or a heartfelt plea, the rocker expressed dismay that the concert arenas once demand major rock bands like his own have become a domain for tardy pop acts. He believes that most of these women just get up there and sing, and they don't really do anything other than that. And they're lip syncing, and I have to agree with him. If you're going to pay, like Madonna, who wants $355 to go see her in concert, and I just listened to her album, and I have to admit, it sucks. Okay, this is a 55-year-old woman doing teeny bopper stuff. I almost said the bad word there. And I'm not going to pay $355 to see her. So I have to agree with Jen Simmons that most of these women who are now singing, they're just, you know, they're not doing anything other than lip syncing to a back vocal. So go for it, Gene. And actually, I have seen Kiss, and they put on a hell of a good show. So if you come, if they come, you see them. And Motley Crue is not a bad group either. As long as Tommy Lee keeps his pants on, you'll be fine. Also, a judge Monday declared a mistrial in the actress Nicolette Sheridan's wrongful termination lawsuit against the producers of the TV show Desperate Housewives, after jurors said they were hopelessly deadlocked, and also after Mark Cherry was forced to tell us who else was going to die on Desperate Housewives. And if you haven't seen the show yet, then I won't ruin it for you, even though I know, and I'm very upset. The jury panel, which consisted of 9 women and 3 men, said they couldn't get beyond any 8 5-4 vote in favor of Sheridan, and as a result were unable to render a verdict that would require 9 of them to agree to an outcome. Also, you would think that by now Kim Kardashian might be used to this sort of thing. After all, the reality star has earned her fair share of criticism about everything from her 72-day marriage to her offensively exorbitant lifestyle to her family's general terribleness. Oh, and E, why did you even put them on air? But hey, I guess, you know, if you make a sex tape now, anyone can get a show. Having already been called a F-idiot by Daniel Craig, Kim should now suspect that other classy, handsome Hollywood gents may feel the same way. In fact, in an interview with Elle, UK, John Hammond found the same words for her. and Paris Hilton. And you remember Paris Hilton. I wonder what happened to her. Whether it's Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian, whoever stupidity is certainly celebrated, the Madman star told magazine, adding, being a F-idiot is a valuable commodity in this culture because you're rewarded significantly. Hence, reality shows and A-list parties that they actually let you in, which makes no sense. So, John Hammond is now down on the Kardashians saying that they are freaking idiots. I can say freaking. And that they really shouldn't be anywhere on TV. But yet, we allow them into our lives. Why? It's because we're voyeurism. We've become an age of voyeuristic people who love reality shows. And then we like to sit back and say, hey, well, at least I don't do that. But if you're enjoying the show, then I guess you have to say you are doing that. All right. The time is going on roughly 7:12. Thank you, Avery. And we're going to hit Golden Years by David Bowie. So enjoy.
Hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come little baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
Come little baby.
There's my fever lost, that's all. Opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come baby. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never the fat walk tall at five. One day upon day, I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way.
Come
little baby, run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
There's my baby lost, that's all.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come little baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stick with you, baby, for 1,000 years. Nothing's gonna touch you in these golden years.
Golden years.
was David Bowie with Golden Years. And welcome back. It's about 7:15, and this is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And let's get right to it. We are going to go into TV news. Yes, yes, yes. There's a lot been going on in TV. As I said earlier, Desperate Housewives lost another main character. And if you haven't seen the show yet, then I won't ruin it for you, but it's pretty sad. And it's also sad that it's ending. You know, I guess life goes on. I have to find something else to fill my 9 o'clock spot on Sundays on my DVR. So let's see. Combine a great TV star with an incredibly intriguing premise, and you should be, by all rights, end up with a show that's more than merely interesting. Yet sadly, after an extremely promising pilot, interesting is where Touch, which it premieres tonight on Fox at 8 p.m., seems to be landing. There is considerable appeal to having a network series go on its own odd way, trying to make a weekly drama out of a butterfly effect connectivity. But as appealing as that may sound, it's not as much as we were led to expect from January's preview. And not as good as Kiefer for Sutherland deserves. Also, not everything that Oprah touches turns to gold. Yes. Winfrey's struggling cable network OWN laid off 30 staffers Monday as part of a restructuring and budget adjustment. I guess since Oprah has gone off the air, her monies have kind of gone to the side, so we won't be expecting any more cars soon. The firings came days after the network announced the cancellation of Rosie O'Donnell's nightly talk show. It's a difficult decision to make, and it affects people's lives, Winfrey said. But economics are for a startup cable network just don't work with the cost structure that was in place. Winfrey sold, said her CEO was to chart the network's long-term success and layoffs were a necessary step. The network now has 120 employees. So as you know, the Rosie O'Donnell show was giving us walking papers this past week. So Rosie O'Donnell signing was originally thought to be a coup for the cable network, but that desperately needed it. But in the end, it did nothing but waste money and force the star to move to a new city. Almost 6 months ago, the premise of the Rosie show attracted nearly 500,000 viewers. That's a very low number considering that she had millions when she was actually on ABC. That figure might not have been a dream come true for the programming executives, but it was enough to promise something better may lay ahead. But over the past month or so, the ratings have dropped down to 200,000, and something had to be done. And apparently, Oprah Winfrey cutting her losses was better policy than trying to figure out and tinker with the show. Also joining on The Big Bang Theory on April 5th, Stephen Hawking, the renowned physicist and cosmologist, is joining the cast. He's doing a special appearance, and look for Sheldon and him to battle the wits of the universe. Also, if you think 2.5 Men has moved past its Charlie Sheen era, it hasn't. Charlie Sheen has returned, but in a different way. It's a little different than what you might think. In an upcoming episode of the highly rated comedy, Kathy Bates will guest star as the ghost of Sheen's character, Charlie Harper. Bates as Harper returns from hell to visit John Cryer, Alan, who is in the hospital after suffering a heart attack. This marks the second time that Alan's been hospitalized this season. Early on, he had a complete breakdown and ended up alongside Gary Busey in a mental institution. Bates is probably best known for her Oscar-winning performance in Misery. She is currently stars in the NBC legal drama Harry's Law. The episode is slated to air on April 30th. Also, the Discovery Channel has fired Men vs. Wild Bear Grylls. According to The Hollywood Reporter, due to a continued contractual dispute with Bear, Discovery has terminated all current productions with him, a network rep told THR. Bear apparently wouldn't participate in two upcoming projects for which he was under contract. And when he joined the network in 2006, which launched the adventure series that dropped the host into unknown environments where he did all kinds of disgusting things to stay alive, he showed viewers how to survive, which was, I guess, great if you're out in the Amazon and, you know, your plane goes down and you need to survive. He hosted the show since 2006, and he also hosted another show, which is a spinoff, in 2010, called Worst Case Scenario. Bear Grylls has not commented on the split from Discovery. And as sad as this is, next thing is to report, Clint Eastwood, yes, High Plains Drifter, Two Meals with Sister Sarah, the Spaghetti Westerns, you know, Make My Day, Punk. He's going to do a reality show on E! Yes, you heard it right. The Eastwoods are the next celebrity family to land their own reality show. Why, Clint? I mean, was it okay? I mean, I guess he needs to make up for J. Edgar not doing as well as it should have, and that Oscar nod that he did not get. But E! Announced today that the new series, Mrs. Eastwood and Company, will debut in May. But rather than a deeper look into the life of esteemed actor Clint Eastwood, the series will focus on his wife. Now, you know, and I know, that once people do not see Clint Eastwood putting his pants on in the morning, they're not going to tune in. So Clint will have to be on the show in order for people to tune in. So, yes. The series will focus on his wife, Deanna, their teenage daughters, Francesca and Morgan. I'll talk about drama. And the all-male six-member South African vocal group that Deanna manages. The 10-episode, half-hour series will debut on May 20th. I Hate My Teenage Daughter isn't getting a lot of love from Fox. The network has pulled the comedy from its schedule 2 weeks earlier than expected after it posted disappointing ratings. Yes. The Fox said the show would air its six remaining episodes in the summer, including the two that were aired on March 27th and April 3rd. Fox wins with X Factor and So-So, Teenage Daughter debuted a series which stars Jamie Presley and Kitty Finneran as a pair of lifelong friends and single moms who fear that their daughters are doing. Also, if you're a fan of Supernatural, which I am, and I've been asking myself when is Cass coming back, Castile's death was just of one of many casualties that have rocked Sam and Dean's world this season. And the episode have shown the boys, particularly Dean, coping with the immense loss. So you can imagine the feelings and emotion that will bubble to the surface when a promised... Sorry, I had to flip the page. Cass comes this week's in Supernatural episodes. Yes, Cass will be Cass is coming back as a healer who Dean's enlists to help Sam through a mental break. And if you don't know, Sam is listening to the devil sing him Stairway to Heaven in his head. So I am so happy that Castile is coming back. And the time is 7:25, and we are going to play another song for you. Once again, welcome to The Scoop with DJ Misty, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And this is Ecstasy with Dear God.
Dear God, hope you got the letter, and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of me, all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat from God. Can't believe in you.
Dear God, sorry to disturb you, but I feel that I should be heard loud and clear. We all need a big reduction in our mind. Fighting in the street,
don't believe in.
Ecstasy with Dear God. And also, on one little more TV note, once again, this is DJ Misty with The Scoop, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. It is for all you Game of Thrones fans out there. Season 2 is going to start soon. Season 2 starts April 1st, 9 p.m. on HBO. So check it out. And that's coming up to our half an hour mark. It's time for news. So we're going to do local news. Investigators have found the purse of the 15-year-old Santa Clara County girl who disappeared nearly a week ago, but there is no sign of the missing teen. Authorities said today that Sierra Lamar's black and pink Juicy brand purse was found Sunday about 2 miles from her mother's house in a unincorporated area near Morgan Hill. A sheriff spokesman said inside was a neatly folded pair of pants and a t-shirt that belonged to her. It's the second item belonging to the girl that's been found since she left home at 6 a.m. on Friday. On Saturday, searchers discovered an intact cell phone by the side of the road about a mile from where she lives. So police are still asking for any clues or any help. If you have seen Sierra, please contact the Santa Clara County, and hopefully we can bring her home. Also, a couple of weeks ago, a Iraqi veteran shot and killed his 11-year-old sister, and his mother has been missing. Police suspected that the mother may be dead. Today, they found the body of Martha Gutierrez. She was found this morning. The Santa Clara County Sheriff initially announced that the body of an unidentified woman had been located, but research and identification has found that it is the woman, Martha Gutierrez, 52. They confirmed it by her remains. She had been missing since last week, just before her son, Abel, 27, shot and killed his 11-year-old sister and then himself. The family was notified around 11 o'clock this morning that her body had been positively identified. So, funeral services will be set for later on next week. Also, French officials say that Islamist extremists fired about 30 shots during a firefight with a masked French SWAT team that ended with the suspect jumping out the window and being shot dead in the head. Interior Ministry said that the elite raid forces who had given the order only to fire in self-defense fired about 300 rounds to his 30. CBS News' Elaine Cobb reports the suspect Mohammed Merrick was believed to have fired 30 shots and a Colt 45 was found beside him when he fell to the ground below his window. He had just 2 bullets left in it. Mohammed, 23, was wanted in the deaths of 3 French paratroopers and 3 Jewish schoolchildren and a rabbi. All were killed since March 11th, and Mohammed reportedly told police that he was attempting to bring France to his knees. So I'm glad he is off the street and where he wants to be, which is in hell. Anyway, the time is 7:31. Actually, from my iPod, it says 7:32. And we are going to do Smashing Pumpkins, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, and I'll be right back after the break.
The world is a vampire. Santa Jane, secret destroyers. Hold you up to the flames. And why do I get someone who say what is lost can never be saved. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a
Sorry, we were chit-chatting. This is DJ Misty coming to you from radio.dominican.edu with the scoop. And it's Thursday night. It's about 7:35 and we're just hanging out, talking trash, talking stuff, you know, the good stuff. All right. Well, as everyone knows, John Carter opened last week. Yes, and as my bunkmate over here, my little roommate here said, yes, that was what happened. John Carter opened and it bombed. Disney spent $500 million on this, hoping to continue on in the Harry Potter reign. Edgar Rice Burroughs, Vex known for his Tarzan books, did do some science fiction books, and they were hoping to capitalize on this. So in the vein of John Carter bombing, I have the top 10 movies that bombed. And, you know, I have to agree, some of them I saw and I thought I kind of liked them. Like The 13th Warrior, okay. It was a little weird, but it cost $160 million to make and it only made $61. So that movie was with Antonio Banderas. And it was, you know, repeatedly delayed due to poor testing screenings. And Crichton himself ultimately stepped in as an uncredited director to finish the film. So that's why I kind of liked it. Because it did, after a while, you kind of enjoyed that he was a fish out of water story. Also, Cutthroat Island, which cost $98 million and only made $18.5 million. Now, Gina Davis, I felt, was probably very full of herself, thought that she could do the action role, and you know, she paved the way for Angelina Jolie to come in and do Tomb Raider, so we got to give her props for that. But what was wrong with this was the swashbuckling romp starring Gina Davis tanked due to lukewarm reviews and nearly non-existent marketing campaign. It ended up a sinking ship that it sailed on. The film's production company totally went under, which was actually her production company. And another movie that bombed was The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Yeah, Eddie Murphy. I don't know what's going on with you, man, but you were big at one point. Now you're just a joke. So Pluto Nash cost $100 million, only made $7.1 million. What went wrong? Originally conceived in the 1980s, and it was shot in 2000, and left on the shelf for 2 years. The celluloid confection was released long past its sale-by date. Pluto Nash was critically reviled even by Eddie Murphy. Moms Need Mars. Oh, and this is what sank Digital Image Movers or Movers Digital, whatever that company was. I can't think of it. And because they were right down the street from me in Novato. Cost $150 million to make. Now, if you haven't seen it, the stop motion caption was beautifully done. Beautifully done. The story was crap. And it only made $39 million. And the audiences were put off by the film soulless motion capture mannequins, which I'd have to disagree because it was the best motion capture stuff that I have seen in a long time. So Disney execs were reported very weary of The Red Planet, and they also cut the title of John Carter of Mars down to John Carter. Heaven's Gate, well, we all heard about that, made in 1980, cost $44 million, which was a lot during that time, only made 3.5. Having just directed Best Picture winning Deer to Deer Hunter, Michael Cimino was given free rein to make this Western, which was just crap. And I've actually seen it since it came out, and you kind of think of yourself, and like, how does this stuff get made? Oops. The Fall of the Roman Empire, which was made in 1964, cost $19 million, which was a lot for that time as well, only made 4.8. The historic epic cost nearly $140 million in today's dollars. The box office was so dismal that Samuel Bronson had to file bankruptcy. Also, Supernova cost $90 million and only made $14 million. And The Alamo cost $107 million and only made $28 million. Hardly anybody remembers The Alamo. Probably no one remembers The Alamo. And I don't even think you guys remember who Dennis Quaid and Billy Bob Thornton are. And let's see. Town and Country was Warren Beatty. And that's probably the last time anyone ever saw Warren Beatty do anything. So thank you, John Carter. You're not alone in your bombing of, as they say, just wasteful of money. And as you all know, tomorrow's the 23rd, and tonight at midnight, The Hunger Games opens at a theater near you. So go and see it and either be Team Gale or Team Pita. All right. In some other movie news, it's been what's shaping up to be one of the year's hottest projects. The Counselor has just attracted some high-caliber acting talent to go along with the Oscar-nominated Ridley Scott's Gladiator. And I'd always say Gladiator, but, you know, Ridley Scott did Blade Runner, okay? We have Alien. But, okay, we'll let them have that. The Pulitzer Prize-winning author Cormac McCarthy, No Country for Old Men, has written the story. The project, of course, features Michael Fassbender from Shame. Most of you may know him from Inglourious Basterds. And the starring role is a respectable lawyer who begins to dabble in the trade of illegal drugs while trying to avoid succumbing to its pitfalls. Previously mentioned for the villainous role was McCarthy's first script was Jeremy Renner, Brad Pitt, and Bradley Cooper. Renner is now in early negotiations along with Javier Bardem for the part that seems less villainous and more enabling as a criminal who induces Fassbender's character to the drug trade. Also in the mix is Natalie Portman, coming back after her hiatus from giving a baby. And this is due to hit theaters next summer. Also, if you're ever a Buffy fan, after actor English actor Anthony Head, best known for Giles, is going to be in the new upcoming Percy Jackson and the Olympians, the Sea of Monsters. Basically, Pierce Brosnan is not slated to come back. He's not sure if he's going to come back, so Anthony Head is going to step in. Now, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, yes, I know it's a little below me. It's more like, you know, 14, 15, but it was an enjoyable story. It's the kind of thing when you're sick at home in bed, you want something lighthearted. It was cute. I enjoyed it. Plus, I like Greek mythology, so, you know, hey. And Pierce Brosnan looked good as a half man, half horse. Also, we have Woody Allen. Yes, back on March 12th, French distributors tweeted that Woody Allen's once titled new film, Nero Fiddled, will now be titled Rome to Rome with Love. It didn't report it on it because I thought it may only get a new name, but now it seems that To Rome with Love is the new name. And Sony Claxis will be distributing the film on June 22nd. Also, producers Barbara Streisand and Joe Silver have decided to snatch Julian Fellowes from Downton Abbey, which if you haven't checked out, season 2 just ended. So it's now available on Netflix at a DVD or any DVD store near you. And Barbara Streisand, Julian Fellowes, Joel Silver will now team together to do Gypsy. Yes, Barbara Streisand will play Gypsy Lee's mother. and she's going to bring Mama Rose to, and as a musical, to the big screen. Also, I am so happy to report this, that it seemed like an empty promise last year, but now Ron Howard and Brian Grazer have decided to do Stephen King's The Dark Tower, which, as you know, Sci-Fi was trying to bring that as a series to the Sci-Fi channel, but I don't know what happened. They just decided not to. But something like this really needs a full big screen adaptation. So The Dark Tower is going to be polished off, and the script is going to be written at the moment. They don't have anyone who's writing the script, but look for The Dark Tower at a theater near you sometime next Christmas. And the time is getting on to a quarter to. Oh, okay. I have a couple more things to report. All right. So The Dark Tower. Yes. The heavy. Thank you. Thank you. Also, the possibility of Javier Bardem may be in the movie as the hero. So look for that, as I said, somewhere next year. Also, if you love Jeremy Irons like I do, and he's on Showtime's The Borgias, he has now signed on to star in the film adaptation of Beautiful Creatures, a novel based on Kimi Garcia and Margaret Stoll. Beautiful Creatures tells the story of teenagers Ethan and Lena, two star-crossed lovers who uncover dark secrets about their families and their history and their town. This is set to start production this year. Hopefully, you're looking at maybe a December, maybe early January release. And let's just hope that it's going to be a good one. All right, the time is 7:46. We are going to take a quick break and come back with Wacky News.
Yeah.
welcome back to DJ Misty with The Scoop at radio.dominican.edu. And now there's more than Avery. We have Daniel, Rachel, and Debbie here. They're all going to be on Avery's show. DJ Avery coming to you for Do It Live at 8 to 9 tonight, right after me. So stay tuned. It should be a wild time here. All right. Well, we're going to start wrapping things up. So available this week on DVD. And I don't know why they made it. And I say it and I'll say it and say it till I die. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I mean, come on. Why? I mean, David Fincher, I love you. I love Fight Club. But please, why did you have to do this? So anyway, the Girl with the American version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is available this week. Also, if you're into the spy thrillers, Tinker Tailor Soldier, starring Gary Oldman, who you can never go wrong. And if you've never seen The Professional, you'll understand what I mean. That also is going to be out this week. Also, All the Future President's Men will be out this week as well as The Muppets, The Adventures of Tintin, The Sitter, P.I., and coming next week, Extremely Loud and Extremely Close and A Dangerous Method. Also, what released last week, even though, as I said earlier, The Hunger Games is coming out this week, but also in 2000, the Japanese, and you got to love them for their goriness, they released their own movie called Battle Royale. And Battle Royale is basically the same premise as The Hunger Games, done in full-on gore. So... And there was a sequel in 2003 called The Battle Royale Requiem, which, as you know, there's going to be another Hunger Games, and that will be out. That's also available right now. And Run Away. Mighty Python and the Holy Grail has finally come out on Blu-ray. So get your copy and watch out for The Killer Bunny. Also, The Descendants has come out. She's Gotta Have It and Carnage. And The Last Temptation of Christ. Yes, William Dafoe and Barbara Hershey doing naughty things in the name of Jesus. So, Avery is pushing me out here. So we're going to get to our wacky news soon. Have you ever been to the orchestra, you know, to the symphony? And you go and you're sitting down and you realize, well, I may not be sitting in the right seat. Well, that is what happened here in Chicago. I can find my piece of paper here. Yes, the Chicago Classical Symphony. We're doing a folk music symphony, whatever. And this gentleman decided that this old man who was in his seat, he wanted him to move. So during the concert, he got into a fist fight with the old man, who was 57, and decided to punch him until he moved, got out of his seat. Which basically erupted the symphony and everyone around them. And the police were called, and it was a very embarrassing moment. So the director of the symphony decided to pause until everyone gathered themselves and then continue on. So that is it for me, DJ Misty. I'm going to leave you with my thoughts for the evening. Is social media ruining our kids? I have friends who say that their kids spend more time on social media than sitting and talking to them, texting, and actually having conversations when they're in the cars. So the question to you guys this week, and your thoughts and suggestions, is social media ruining our kids? Anyway, please email your thoughts and suggestions to info at DJ Misty, that is DJ Misty, MISTIE.com. And I will read your thoughts and comments on the air next week. And it's about 5 to 8. And I am going to be wrapping things up here with Julie London's Misty. And DJ Avery will be on with Do It Live from 8 to 9. And I just got an email saying, let's see. I think this is from the man of the show. He just said, great show, Misty. I heard it, and I just decided to leave you alone. See you tomorrow. All right, Stu. I hope you're listening, and I'll see you tomorrow too. Anyway, thank you for joining me once again. This is DJ Misty with The Scoop, coming to you from radio.dominican.edu. And I hope everyone will have a wonderful evening. Stay tuned for Do It Live with A.B. Jaffrey and Rachel, Debbie, and a bunch of other people. Here is Julie London with Misty.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. And I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand. I get misty holding your hand. Walk my way. And a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello. That music I hear, I get misty the moment you're near. You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want you to do. Don't you realize how hopelessly I'm lost? That's why I'm following you. On my own, would I wander through this wonderland alone, never knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove? I get misty and too much in love.
I was on the verge of breaking down.